Welcome, Josh, to Writers Series.
Glad to be here. Good to talk to you again.
We're celebrating you today because you're a best-selling author of The Book Initiative and Leadership Step by Step. You're a professor, you're a host, you're a business entrepreneur, and you hold many different titles. But one of the key things that also people recognize you for is your writing, your contributions as a blogger and writing magazine articles for well-known publications. So how were you introduced to the craft of writing?
I think of the things that you mentioned there, you know, I did something that wasn't supposed to be an introduction to the craft of writing, but really a friend of mine suggested that a while back, people said you should blog. And I really didn't think much of blogging. And a friend of mine was setting up the blogging software for me. This is in 2011, I believe. And I asked him, how often do you post on your blog? Is it like when you have an idea, when you feel like it? And he turns to me and he says, oh, by the way, we were joking around. And suddenly he got very serious and he goes, every day. If you miss one day, you can miss two. If you miss two, it's all over. And those words have stuck with me. I have not missed a day posting on my blog in, I think it's 12 years now. So there's something about the arts, whether it's playing music or acting, drama, or painting or sketching. Quantity, I believe, is the route to quality. Now, it's not alone, but yeah, I think that writing a lot is very important. And just words on the page counts for a lot. And also the discipline and learning that there's a lot more to it than just your fingers on the keyboard or your hand holding the pen. There's what do you do on a day when you don't feel like it? Sometimes the best writing comes when you're most frustrated. And so I got into it through writing my blog every day. So years later, I ran into someone who wrote an editor at Inc. magazine. And they said, well, do you have any writing samples? And at that time, it was something like, I don't know, 7-8 years worth of posts. I was like, well, I got 7 or 8 years worth of posts. And they're like, you're in. I mean, they wanted a couple specific examples, but it was all there. I didn't have to write anything new for them. And then that led to writing for Psychology Today and a couple other places.
If you had to define your style of writing, how would you describe it?
The style is, I try to be matter of fact and I try to cut out the, the stuff that I try not to call attention to the writing. I don't want the ideas to be, I don't want the words to get in the way of the ideas. So I'm always going to try to use simple writing, I try to cut out adverbs, kind of the philosophy of Strunk and White, I guess, elements of style. And then I focus on factual things, or nonfiction things that are for the reader to improve his or her life, to act on things on that person's values that might not be easy for them to do. So right now, my main focus is sustainability. A lot of people want to act more sustainably. They want to pollute less. They want clean air and water. But it's hard. They want to fly and they want to air condition. And I want to help them find out what their deepest values are and act on those things. So I want to focus on the reader's personal, emotional experience, their values, things like that. I hope that answers the question.
Yes. And it also ties into what I was going to follow up with. If your name was not next to that article or that book, what is it about that writing that would make a reader go, okay, Joshua Spodek wrote that?
I would hope that it's the focus on them, their emotional state, their views on the world. I want to start with where they are. I'm not sure how good I am at this, but that's my goal if you want to change, writing is part of my leadership practice. And leadership begins with the other person, not you. A manager can say, I want to get this done, so do it. A leader, you have to start where they are, which means finding out where they are, which means entering their world. And I try to do that.
Is there any type of writing thing that you enjoy contributing to more than others?
Yeah, stuff that's actively changing people. There's a lot of stuff in leadership that's stories. What I call, if you want to learn art, you can take a class in painting. You can also take art appreciation, which is just kind of learning what's nice. And you can, maybe when you go to a museum, it's more interesting, but it doesn't, learning art appreciation or music appreciation doesn't actually help you become an artist or musician. You have to put your fingers on the keyboard and practice and play some scales. In leadership, there's a lot of stuff that I would call leadership appreciation. And it's about leadership, but not how to lead. So my book on leadership is how to lead. My book on initiative is how to take initiative, which means that you're going to change your life. People who do the initiative exercises, their lives change. They realize their passions, they act on them, they bring them to life. So much other stuff is just like, here's some great entrepreneurs or here's some great leaders. Great stuff, very entertaining, not going to change your life.
If and when you partner with publishing houses when your books come out, how do you balance the feedback that you receive, the constructive guidance regarding your writing, without making changes and losing your voice in the process?
I got to say that the last, I was working with a big publisher in New York for the new book coming out that I'm working on. And they put me in touch with, actually, she's now freelance. She was an editor with them for 5-8 years, something like that. And the head of the firm said, talk to her. And he was like, "That she's perfect for you." And man, working with her was on, took my writing to a whole other level. And I've worked with very good editors before, but this one, I mean, in my case, I found her by luck, but, or by recommendation, but working with someone who knows my work and listens and pushes back and has great experience, that was just a new experience that I wouldn't trade for anything. I don't know how to recommend finding someone, because if I hadn't found her, I wouldn't have known what I was missing.
As a writer, whose writings do you appreciate?
It's funny. I've been talking about that because you got to talk about comparables for your books, and a lot of stuff in sustainability is about people who have agendas or they have different views than I do. And for me, the people whose writings have changed me are the ones I tried to follow. So I don't know, Martin Luther King, Stride Toward Freedom, Nelson Mandela's autobiography, Walden, people have lived what they talk about. I don't believe you can lead people to live by values that you live the opposite of. So people who challenge themselves and do it when it's difficult. People expect me to say Silent Spring or, Ralph Nader maybe. No, it's tough to say because I'm really looking for leaders who have changed their lives, who have lived differently, who have really gone through difficult experiences and realized. I mean, I'm sure everyone says Viktor Frankl or Jean-Dominique Bauby, who wrote Diving Bell and the Butterfly. These are personal journeys that were very difficult, but worth it. And I think that everybody wants to live like them. If, we prefer to not to go through difficult times, but if we do, we want to live like, I mean, I want to live like Viktor Frankl. I mean, he lived through Auschwitz, but he wrote about bliss and love.
What are some of the lessons learned that you discovered in your writing process?
Definitely working with a great editor. Definitely. Here's one. In the process, I expect that when I write the first draft, that's just to get the words out. And I say this, but I really take a long time to start writing, and I should write faster, because I think of my process like, if I see a great painting in a museum, I expect that there's a lot of sketches that the artist created before doing it. So if it's like a portrait with, like, maybe they've... Like Da Vinci, there's lots of sketches of hands. There's lots of sketches of body parts. There's lots of sketches. I'd write a lot of stuff that's sketches that I know is going to fit in the book somewhere. And I write them and speak them and share them with friends. So that testing out, by the time this book on sustainability leadership is written, I expect that most chapters I will have written a half a dozen or a dozen or maybe even 2 dozen times in various ways before putting it all together into one book. So the book is... Like the book is, writing the book, there's a lot of composition. Writing the sketches is more of the details, how they fit together. And then there's a rhythm and a melody, color and shape and form that all have to fit in to make it a wonderful work of art. But I think the sketching is one of the biggest things. I'm writing lots of sketches. Each chapter has a bunch of different sketches in it. And I don't mind that I'm going to write it knowing that after I've written it, I'm going to try again. And then every now and then something hits. And people respond to it. And I'm like, okay, great. I've done that enough. I can go on to the next sketch.
Your work focuses on accountability and productivity. Is there a writing tip that you were taught or that you discovered that has made an immense difference in your productivity?
Well, definitely writing every day. And at the beginning, writing every day is, I hope that the stuff that I write now is higher quality. And the stuff I write on my blog, I do write it every day. It's not designed for quality. It's designed for practice and also... Writing every day forces me to develop habits and practices. The big ones are getting over inertia, getting over like, oh, I'm tired or I don't feel like it. Or the stuff that, Stephen Pressfield, I hope people have read The War of Art, this inertia that's easy to not start. And writing anything somehow, in my experience, gets over the challenge of not knowing what to write.
So here's a lighthearted question. In all of the writings that you have produced, what is one word that you overuse in your opinion?
Oh man, the staff to go back and I'm trying to review while I'm talking. A word that I overuse. I don't know. Nothing comes to mind right away.
Okay, no problem. Is there any word that you would like to integrate more in your writing?
Words. I can't. Nothing comes to mind of at the word level what to put in more or take out of. You got me thinking. I'm probably going to email you after this and say, oh, I hit it. I know the answer.
Okay.
And nothing comes to mind right away.
As a professor, you are exposed to many students and writers. Is there anything that you recognize in the writing of students today?
They could use a lot more editing and rewriting. It's hard for me. I don't remember how I wrote back. Well, I didn't write well in college. This enthusiasm and passion. I mean, especially when I teach in this semester, I'm teaching a requirement for the major. So the students didn't necessarily choose it. But when I teach not required classes, then people get much more enthusiastic about it. But the level of, how do I put it, rigor and, you know, rewriting and polishing their thoughts, they could use a lot more.
Do you believe due to the advent of technology, some people have become desensitized and focusing on the significance and quality of writing?
There's lots of different technologies, and social media has probably makes people feel connected when they're actually isolated. I think that there's, since everything gets published all the time, there's no gatekeepers, there's no mechanism to improve quality. There's mechanism to improve, to gain more likes and more retweets and things like that. So in terms of quality and thoughtfulness, that's not really selected for in today's social media world. That said, there are some who, I think there's some really great stuff out there, but yeah, I think the quality I think there's a dearth of that and thoughtfulness.
And because you're big on action items, for anyone who's thinking of starting to write more, what is one action item that they could start today?
Well, writing every day. I mean, I post on a blog. I mean, you can get blog for free. You can get blog posting but you can also just write. I mean, sometimes I write a lot. I write more and more by hand. Also, for those who don't know, I'm in May. I've been doing a lot of things to live by the values that I'm talking about. So something like 10 years ago, I challenged myself to avoid packaged food for a week. That was a big challenge, but it ended up, I learned a lot. And that led me to avoid flying. So I haven't flown since 2016. And there's a whole lot of middle steps. In May of last year, I disconnected my apartment from the electric grid to see if I could. My goal was a month, and I didn't know how I'd make it past a couple of days. Now I'm in my ninth month with my apartment disconnected from the electric grid, which has been a tremendous learning experience. The reason I mention it is that it takes a lot. I have to think twice before I use power, especially if there's been a lot of rainy days in a row. I have a couple solar panel, but I have to carry it up to the roof 11 flights to charge it. So I'm very careful about when I'm using power. That means I'm writing a lot more by hand, and I have to think more before I commit. So that's a great hurdle. I don't know if people need to unplug their entire apartment, although I do recommend giving a shot. The whole world lived off the electric grid up until about 100 years ago, and many people in the world still do. And if more people did, then we wouldn't need the power grid that we do, and we could save a lot of energy, power, become much more energy secure, much more politically secure, and in my experience, live much better lives. But just for writing, yeah, disconnecting from the internet and being away from anything that could give you a buzz to give yourself the time to think, that's really useful. The quality goes up the longer you're away from any notification. I mean, just having a cell phone in the same room is going to lower a lot of quality of some types of writing, certainly the type I do.
That's a great point. What are the latest projects that you're working on that the audience is privy to know at the moment?
Oh, I have to go back a step, actually, to your last question. It depends on what people are writing, but in my case, I'm writing about changes in behavior. Do the changes first. Live the values you're talking about. If people often, I don't know if you know the writer A.J. Jacobs, he writes a lot of stuff on, like, he'll do something for a month and talk about what the experience is like. I think for a year he had a book called The Year of Living Biblically. So he decided to live by the Bible for a year. He's not a religious person, but there's a lot of religion in American discourse. And he did it. You know, that meant not shaving and all these other things. Now, I'm not saying people do like that, but people read my stuff, and more than once they've said, oh, this is like A.J. Jacobs. Sharing, actually living it is really important. I mean, most people talking about sustainability are not remotely even trying to live sustainably. they're just telling other people to do what they don't know how to do. So if people are writing about something that's experiential, living that first, really living it, then the writing quality and things are going to be secondary, well, hopefully primary in another vein, but that experience is essential. And there's a big lack of that as well. So yeah, thank you for letting me go back a step. What was the current question? Is projects I'm working on?
Yes, the latest projects.
So the book is sustainability leadership, is on sustainability leadership. And this is taking some core parts of the leadership step-by-step teaches people how to lead other people through experiential exercises. Leading in the area of sustainability is different than it's a specific case, but it's got some unique things. Two of the big things being, one is that when you talk about sustainability, most people have an intense emotional response, and the emotions tend to be guilt, shame, helplessness, hopelessness, insecurity, fear. And this is different than leading in business, where it's maybe more ambition or things like that. So that's a specific thing. Then another thing is that one big bonus in the area of sustainability is that everybody has a connection to the environment that's very deeply meaningful to them. Everyone's had experiences where they've been in nature. It could be for some people walking among trees, for others might be walking along the beach or in the mountains, or maybe just some experience with a pet that's been transcendental. And tapping into that, you don't tap into that by saying Bangladesh is going to be under the water. That's extrinsic. So there's deep intrinsic motivation to tap into there. So this book I have to share a lot about my own personal journey and the doubts. And, you know, when I first started acting sustainably, if I really look carefully, I really wanted to fail. I wanted to be able to say, look, I tried to be sustainable, but it didn't work. So now I'm just going to go and party and have a good time just like everybody else. What actually happened was for me to start, it would be a long time, but the depth of experience and the richness of experience and how much I've realized what life is about, and our modern world is moving away from that. So this book has to be very personal, has to show where I came from, the trials I went through. I mean, it's not easy to not fly. I mean, anyone out there who's thinking like it was somehow easier for me, no, it was very hard. I'm not going to go back. And I've reached some perspectives that I think most people couldn't imagine, but when they hear it, it makes total sense that our culture, for all of the progress in terms of learning more science and technology, it's wonderful. And we're more isolated than ever. Communities are being torn apart, even as populations get more and more dense. We don't have connections to nature, so we don't know what we're missing. And when people reconnect with those things, they want to reconnect more. So this book is, if I do it well, it would be very personal about myself and make people question their values and directions and want to live more sustainably themselves and realize that it's not deprivation or sacrifice. On the contrary, it's restoring lost values that our ancestors for 300,000 years up until maybe 200 years ago all took for granted because they could, and we don't know what we're missing.
I'm aware you live by your values, and I follow your signatures with all of the latest activities that you take on, and you track your progress. Is there any future activity or initiative that you're planning on implementing in your life?
Well, this one about going off the grid, it wasn't intentional. I really didn't think I would make it more than a couple of days. And every stage I go, like the first couple of days was learning what to do on a day-by-day basis. Then I could kind of handle that. Then it was on a week-by-week basis. So then it was on a month basis. And leading up to the winter solstice, when the days are shorter and very cold, was a big learning experience. So this is no shortage of what comes my way with living off the grid. I should be very clear, living with my apartment disconnected from the electric grid. So I use the laundry machine in the basement, the building one. And when I'm at NYU, I allow myself to plug in my computer and phone there. So there's a few cheats that I have, but really it's down to like 1% of what I used to use before. So for that last 1%, I use a few cheats, but I have not tapped out what I'm learning from this. I'm pretty sure that I'll make it through the end of the year till May, but then it'll get that. That's when it's getting easier and easier all the time now, past the solstice. Still, the winter's a bit of a challenge. I think one of the things that's opened me up to is connecting with indigenous cultures that still exist today that are living sustainably and have guardrails in place. You know, they never take the last thing when they. This is one thing I just was listening to something about the Lakota, And I'm far from an expert. I'm not trying to be an expert in indigenous cultures. I'm trying to learn from them how I can live more sustainably, how other cultures have done it. So connecting with them, learning from them, putting into practice things that humans have done forever up until very recently when we've become entitled and spoiled by fossil fuels, ignoring the effects on others, that, you know, the pollution. And then there's also the rhetoric of how to make this. I'm holding back on doing the speaking stuff about it too much publicly until I finish the book, partly because I want to focus on the book and partly because all the sketching helps me fine tune the message. So wrapping all that up, I think learning more through longer term being off the grid or having my apartment disconnected from the electric grid, connecting and learning from indigenous and sustainable cultures, and the speaking part of it. Those three things seem like the next areas.
And finally, you're welcome to share with audiences where they could find you.
Well, joshuaspodek.com is where everything is. I don't use social media much, but I post every day. And then if you go to favorites, then I list my favorite posts. And then I have 4 TEDx talks there. And the podcast is also links to from joshuaspodek.com. So the podcast is called This Sustainable Life. And there I bring leaders from many areas, generally not sustainability, where there are virtually no leaders, and to bring leadership to sustainability. So I have some really big names there and famous people and movie stars and Super Bowl winners and people like that.
Thank you, Joshua, for sharing your insights with future writers.
Thank you. Oh, and I hope that I'd like to think of, as soon as you start writing, you're a writer. You may not be published, you may not have gotten on the bestseller lists, but you're a writer. So hopefully if they're thinking of themselves as future writers, I say, go ahead. I say, call yourself a writer.
I love that. Very encouraging words.
Glad to talk to you. Yeah. Thanks again.
Thank you.